The Shedden Truck and Tractor Pull is June 14th and 15th.
Friday night includes all the top classes from the Empire State Pullers, members of the Pro Pulling League. Saturday night, cheer on local farm stock tractors, 4x4s and semis.
Plus, enjoy live music in the beer gardens. Friday is the Jay Allen Band featuring Connor Wilson, and Saturday it's Space Tripper. Parking is free, camping is available.
Go to sheddentruckandtractorpull.com for reservations and information.
Sponsored in part by London Agriculture Commodities, SM Freight, and Finkel Farm Supply.
The Shedden Truck and Tractor Pull, June 14th and 15th.
Come for the pull, stay for the party.
Tonight, WWE is live for a special event. Streaming only on WWE Network, see Dean Ambrose's farewell match as The Shield comes together for one last ride. And the cameras will be there for every legendary moment. The Shield's final chapter, live tonight, 9:30 Eastern, 6:30 Pacific. Streaming only on WWE Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the podcast arena. Coming to the ring at this time...
Oh, you didn't know? Your ass better call somebody!
First, representing this week in Geek, and from parts unknown, he is Mike the Birdman Don.
I am one hardcore team.
His tag team partner, representing the Geekcast Radio Network and hailing from the outer reaches of your mind, he is Mike TFG1 Blanchard.
I got four words for you. Check out my ass.
And from the Great White North, here is your special guest referee, Ryan, the Uneven Flow.
The Mountie always gets his man.
You are listening to Mayhem Mikes. And now, let's get ready to podcast!
You mentioned pillars. And as we head now toward a very historic moment in time in this company's history in the fall, our Universal Champion on Monday Night Raw is Seth Rollins. The cornerstone now of SmackDown Live is Roman Reigns.
Let me stop you right there, because I already know what your final question is going to be, okay? And I don't appreciate people putting words in my mouth, and I don't appreciate people trying to tell the story of my life to fit their narrative, okay? 8 years ago, I walked into this casino. Now I'm cashing in my chips, I'm walking away from the table, I won the game. And what I do with the rest of my life from here on out is my business. I answer to no one. This time the $1 million man didn't get what he wanted, because I can't be mocked. So if you excuse us, it's time for us to go do the thing that I want the Shield to be remembered for, that's kicking serious ass.
WWE Network presents The Shield's final chapter.
Hello and welcome to Mayhem Mikes. This is episode 51. This is the first episode since WrestleMania. Ryan, the Uneven Flow Merkley, is he's off getting ready for cashing in his chips. joining me for the first time in, I think, over a year... is returning Alex, Mr. Gravy Moose. Hello, sir. Or the producer,
Hello.
Whatever the hell you're
Should
gonna
I
call.
Talk like Ryan for the entire
Stop
episode?
It. Stop it. Don't do that. Whoa, you're gonna get me in trouble. Okay. Stop it.
He can come at me, bro.
Yeah, stop it. Don't do that.
But yeah, it's been probably about a year or so.
Yeah, something like that. I think it was
since then I still watch wrestling. Mm-hmm. I'm more infuriated with it now than I've been in a long time.
Yeah, so. It's... I am not thrilled with the WWE product right now. It, like, I knew the Shield was never going to, like, you know, last for decades and decades, but just, okay, so when they came on the scene in 2012, yeah. I was like, damn, who are these guys? Damn, they're just coming in and taking, oh, damn. Like, before Dean started going crazy character, lunatic, like, I love everything that Jonathan Good did as Dean Ambrose. I absolutely do. But I didn't really forget, but I'm like, oh, right. In the early days of the Shield, he was on the mic. It wasn't Seth at first. It was Dean, and he was doing the stuff and whatever. I love their theme song. I love this, like, basically, you know, combat boots and basically police, like, basically like a SWAT team.
Well, yeah, but wasn't the idea originally CM Punk's for their basic, their entire gimmick?
I don't know.
Like, I remember hearing about him saying, like, it was his idea to have them as, like, protection, and then it sort of spun around. He wanted a different person instead of Roman, but Roman was picked, and blah, blah, blah. That's all in you know, the backstory of what it ended up being. Like, it turns out, like, they made probably the coolest, like, three-man team. Like, because this isn't a case of, like, Evolution, where it was a group of people that were already established stars. It's probably the first time that there was a three-man team that was that popular as for being cool, I'm saying in quotes, since, like, the Freebirds, like, 30 years earlier.
Yeah.
Because I can't think of anybody who started as a three-man team.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So it's, or even then, they might actually be the best, like, debut of a three-man team ever.
Oh, yeah, because they just came in and just tore the place up.
And I mean, I started watching, like, I was out of wrestling for, like, a good 15 years as a kid. Like, mm-hmm. I stopped watching probably around 98, 99, something like that. And I didn't start watching again until I was bored in college and there was nothing to watch in the summer semester.
Yeah.
And I think it was... right after I started watching, right when was Daniel Bryan screwed out at SummerSlam or something?
Yeah, I think something. So, yeah.
It was either 2012 or 2013. So, because the Shield was already there, and that's when I was watching, and they were cool. CM Punk was cool, and then CM Punk was gone, and they were cool, and that was it.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. So basically, we're here to talk about how we feel about WWE. We're here to kind of talk about, not necessarily review, but kind of talk about the network, WWE Network special, The Shield's final chapter.
Yeah. The show that Dean was paid $500 for.
Oh, when I heard. Okay. We're also here to talk about John Moxley's latest, first really ever interview. Like, Jonathan Good, John Moxley, Dean Ambrose, whatever you want to call his character. Jonathan Good is the guy's real name. Whatever you want to call the character that he does. And we're probably going to say Dean Ambrose. We're probably going to say John Moxley. It's just a thing because it's so new at this point. Like, AEW just launched with Double or Nothing.
I'll just call him, like, Dean Moxley or something. That'll work.
So
the balding one out of the Shield.
Yeah. He's he has never really done... He has Twitter, but he has, like, he follows zero people. He's never really done anything with the Twitter thing and whatever when he was in WWE. He doesn't really do interviews. He's not, like, that's not... So when he was on Jericho's Talk is Jericho podcast, I was like, ooh, I have to listen to this. And we always talk about here on Mayhem Mikes about how certain wrestlers, most if not all of them, are, like, involved with Make-A-Wish. Obviously, the face of Make-A-Wish is John Cena, but, you know...
Yeah.
Other WWE stars do it as well. I didn't even know that he did it.
No, the only people they ever really talk about doing it are, they show Cena do it. Mm-hmm. They show occasionally Roman, but not as much, but it's mostly Cena. Then, like, out of the blue, I think the second guy that does the most is Titus O'Neil.
Yep.
They always show him doing that. Then they'll show, like, Mark Henry or Big Show, and that's about it.
Yeah.
And, like, I didn't realize at all that he did it. Yeah. Like, let alone a lot of it, apparently.
Yeah, exactly. So basically, the Shield is no more. Seth and Roman are doing their thing still in WWE. Seth is currently Universal Champion. He, you know, curb stomped that idiot into the ground. I am so dreading the next year of WWE. Until this whole... Okay, so basically, Seth is Universal Champion. Kofi Kingston is WWE Champion. They currently introduced the new version of the Hardcore title, which is the 24/7 Champion, which, according to, I believe it was the other interview you had me listen to, the part one of two...
The Wade Keller interview?
Yeah, the Wade Keller interview. Something about Dean saying, or Wade asking him about the 24/7 championship, or Wade saying something about the 24/7 championship, and how it was actually USA Network's idea to get better... X number of decades of WWE, I've never heard of a television network having input into
doing... This is because their ratings have dropped so far.
Yep.
And like people think, oh, well, no, they're doing just hovering about 2 million, 2 point something. Yeah, but last year, this time, they were 3 million.
Yep.
2 years ago, they were 4 million. Yeah. When I started watching, it was like 3.9, 4 million, 4.5 or
yeah, whatever so it was. Yeah.
In 2012, 2013. So yep. They've been losing 500,000, between 500,000 and a million people, and they would bounce back now and then, but for basically the last year, they've been consistently losing like 10 to 15,000 viewers every week, and they're not getting them back.
No. And honestly,
and it's because the writing is terrible. The writing is terrible. A lot of the matchups are boring because it's the same ones over and over again. Yeah. Nobody's getting any momentum, and then it's missing that little thing, which is star power. They're just not. Some people don't have the charisma there. Yeah. They don't, and they clearly don't have the drive.
Yeah.
Some people do.
Some people do.
Like, but a lot of times people run out of steam really quickly. Like, Drew Galloway was, and Drew McIntyre. He was fantastic when he left and went to Impact everywhere else. Came back, was really strong, and now nobody gives a shit.
Yep.
They just don't handle it right.
No, they don't. And after listening to the Dean interviews, okay, so I've listened to part one of the Wade Keller interview, because part two has not been released as of this recording. I've listened to the Jericho interview, and basically both of these interviews, Dean, John Moxley, whatever, says everything pretty much goes through Vince. Like, I'm Vince McMahon, bitch. Do what I tell you.
And I mean, people had said that for years,
right?
Years back and forth, that he was really hands-on, but nobody in the last, I would say, 20 years has really come out and said that. Like, even CM Punk's interview, the one that he got sued over when he left, his complaints were mostly about personal issues. Like, because he's a bit of an abrasive person, so he might be a little harder to get along with. But everything was about how it affected him.
Yeah.
The Dean interviews are basically... they're not just how I feel. It's basically pouring gasoline on Vince McMahon, setting fire and saying, you are the reason this company is falling apart. You should die or retire.
Yeah.
And he's saying things that some fans have been saying for years should happen. And it's one thing to be a disgruntled employee and say something, but he's saying this. And also, I believe he wasn't supposed to wrestle yet. From the interview, it sounds like, because there's supposed to be like 3 months of, or whatever it is, of a non-compete clause.
Yeah.
He told Vince that he was going to film a movie, and then he went and did AEW's pay-per-view.
Yeah.
So, but again, they can't really do anything, because now what he's doing is he's testing him. Like,
yeah, he's testing the water to see when they'll eventually sue him or something.
Or if they try to. Well, I don't think they can, because their independent contractor contracts are bullshit. They're not even been really legal. They haven't been tested in court. So you as an independent contractor, you can't tell somebody they can't work at another company.
Yeah. So
and that's not how those contracts work. So
yeah.
So he's actually the first time where somebody is that big that is coming out and is basically, he pulled his pants down and started pissing in Vince's face and is saying, what are you going to do about it?
Yeah, exactly. It's a new version of the Kiss My Ass Club, except it's Vince doing the kissing this time. And I don't know. I don't know. You don't know. We don't know how Vince is going to react. I haven't seen too, like, I've seen more about Stephanie talking about Brock, and so I got to tell you, even on the Hulu versions of Raw and SmackDown, the yep. SmackDown version isn't really cut to death. SmackDown's just 2 hours, but the Raw version is cut from 3 hours to an hour and a half. Good. The Sami Zayn thing was in the Hulu version. So, you know, you could have asked me about AEW. Was that scripted? Yeah. Wasn't it scripted? Because Double or Nothing had just happened. Yada, yada, yada. Whatever. I got to say, when I watched the Hulu version of Raw where Paul Heyman is, like, reading the contract to Brock Lesnar and Brock, I have a whole year? You didn't know? How do you not know? Like, of course, how do you think Brock doesn't know the shit? He doesn't read the fucking contract. He just signs it.
The biggest thing to come out of these interviews, and there's little things here and there, like his complaining about the scripts that were sent to him that were, they were too silly or stupid. Okay, that's a personal preference, because somebody, like you mentioned, like an R-Truth will do it and be perfectly happy doing it and be happy being that character. He was not happy being somebody who was silly or somebody who would be mocked. Because he comes from, like, CZW and, like, those wrestling promotions where, like, they break light tubes over your heads. I don't care for the bullshit, crazy hardcore for the sake of hardcore companies. But that's where he came from. So he came from a very, very different style of wrestling. So I get his apprehension of that. What I don't necessarily agree with is, like, I don't know if he knows the difference between saying something horrible and it being horrible, or saying something horrible because it'll get you crazy heat. Like, not wanting to say something about your friend having leukemia, I get how you do that at a personal level, but if you had asked anybody like a Roddy Piper or any of the old school guys, they would have said the most heinous, horrific shit they possibly could, because they know that, like, Roman wouldn't take it to heart, because it's all for the heat. It's all for that. It's not because it's something he would actually mean. So, but I disagree that he shouldn't have said that.
Well, you know, I kind of don't. I
get both sides, basically, is what I'm saying. Like, if it had been me, I would have talked to Roman, if he was my friend, and been like, dude, I'm going to say some shit that's really going to get people upset. It's going to get crazy heat, but you know I love you, buddy. And then he would have been like, yeah, he's from a wrestling family. He would know. And then I would have gone out there and then, you know, gone to the audience, and I don't know what he said, but in my head I was like, well, what's the worst thing that he could possibly say? The worst thing he could have possibly said was turn to the audience and talked with Roman there and be like, well, hey, I heard you got leukemia. I guess the audience got what they want. You won't be back anymore. Like, he could have said something like that.
Yeah. We don't know what he was supposed to say, because there were two different times that he said on the Jericho interview that he was supposed to say this one thing, and then
they would
later
lose sponsors
on,
and everything. Yeah.
Yeah, like later on, he was.
And the only
to
thing I could think
thing.
Of would be him saying something about, I guess the fans get what they want. You're going to go away forever. Like, that's the only thing I could think of, because that would be something that they would lose. They would lose sponsors over that, or
something.
Hey, or even something like, hey, the fans finally get it. They wished cancer upon you. Like, something's horrible. Like, it's not right. I don't think that it's not something you should. I think it's something that you can say. I don't think it's the right thing to say. But he was trying to behave like they should have never done that, and they would have never done that. It's like, in wrestling history, people have done shit like that. Have done worse things.
That's true.
It's from the time period, right? Like, now, everybody's focusing on this. And if they've got sponsors like the Komen Society, whatever it's called, like the cancer ones, you don't want to be messing with that.
Yeah, no, exactly. No, like, you know, I think that's what Dean said. Like, that second thing, he was like, I can't even repeat it. I wasn't even ever going to say it because, you know, Susan G. Komen, that institution, they would have pulled out or whatever. But Vince wanted him to say these things. And, like, what I loved about these interviews was how open and how honest Dean was about them. Like, the whole time that they had changed his Ambrose character again, the second time, like, after the Shield broke up, and they added, like, the siren to his theme song, and added the surgical mask or whatever the hell it was, I'm like, what the fuck are they doing to him? I listen to this interview, and I find out what it was about, how they wanted him to act like, you know, the audience was diseases and he didn't want to catch what they had, or I'm like, that is the single worst, one of the single worst storylines I've ever seen. Like, yeah. Don't do
it. Well, and it's not right for his character. It's something that a chicken shit heel or somebody would be doing. Like, when he says that, I love that when he says that, like, he goes, R-Truth is the best. He goes, you could tell him to do any of this stupid shit. He'd be like, all right, baby, let's go. And he would do it because it's that character. It's the kind of personality.
Yeah.
You gotta, you can't do cookie cutter, one size fits all. Like, it's you got to read the person. Would Stone Cold Steve Austin say that? No.
Oh,
because
no.
He's supposed to be a stoic badass. It's like, okay, well, you know, is that something The Miz would say? Yes, but that's the kind of character he's always been.
Yeah, true.
So, like, it's got to fit that. I can tell you right now in my mind, I can pinpoint where his character fell apart and Vince made it all stupid. Do you remember that time where he was supposed to be, like, walking through the blizzard? Was it when that they had?
Yes, when they were.
Remember when they had they were snowed out.
Yep.
And he was supposed to be walking with his like his tank top on through the snow.
Yep.
And then he instead of getting a car, he walks 100 miles, and apparently he does that in like the 30 minutes of the show. Yeah. Yep. And he gets there like, what are you doing? Oh, I decided to walk to work today. Like, well, it's stuff it like
was,
that.
That thing was, I believe that was. It was he was gonna walk to WWE headquarters. Like, he was pissed about something, and he was gonna walk to headquarters from wherever he was.
And it was so ridiculous, so beyond. Like, it was something that they wouldn't have even done for a silly person. It didn't make any sense, and that's where it fell apart. And I've never been super high on some of the facial expressions he made at the beginning. Like, he was a little over the top, a little Ultimate Warrior-y, where like a little too much contorting his face and mouth. And then he toned that down, and he let himself be a little more realistic for a while.
Right.
And he came across as just an awesome badass. And that's sort of what he did at AEW. He came across as like not being fake. And that's the problem. I found that he was trying to be fake. And then listening to his interviews, he's like, why did he look and sound so fake? Because he hated what he was doing, and he was doing it just because they told him to.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, when he's left to his own devices, he's really good.
Yeah.
And he's definitely, after hearing his interviews, he's one of the best talkers, for sure.
Oh, he really, really is. And I love the way three different things. That final WWE Raw, like, after Raw thing that Seth did, before we leave this building, I need some help. Roman Reigns, you know, come out and they gave Dean that send-off. And that was the funny thing, listening to some of the interviews, Dean was like, they kept having me say goodbye at all these shows, and it's like, if I keep saying it, am I actually going anywhere? Like, kind of a thing. And it's like, but I love that Raw one, and I love the interview that Michael Cole did with the three of them. I think that was a really, really great interview. And the final chapter the special that was on the network, because it wasn't billed as a pay-per-view, it was a special event or whatever it was. First of all, I have to say, and I've said this since we started this podcast 4 years ago, the WWE Network search functionality fucking sucks.
Yeah.
I put in the Shield final chapter, the first thing it pulls up is the promo for the event. I put in final chapter, first thing that pops up is the actual thing. But I didn't know where the hell to look for on the network to find the fucker. It's not under in-ring. It's not under this. It's not under that. I'm like, where the fuck is this damn thing?
Literally, here's the thing. I looked to find it. Like, I logged into my network account, went to go search for it, gave up and had to go to a torrent site. Because I shouldn't be driven to piracy when I literally own the right torrent.
Yeah, exactly. Watch
it because I can't find it.
Yep.
And it's like, why is it easier for me to find on a torrent site than it is to find on the site that I'm paying for?
Yep.
It's
crazy.
It's one of those instances where I'm like, I don't feel guilty about downloading a copy because I have the right to watch a copy if I can find it.
Yeah, exactly. If you can't find it, you can't watch it.
I think, to be honest, after watching it, it seemed like a very hastily put together special. It didn't feel like it had the gravitas it really needed, at least at the beginning where they came out. There's a couple matches beforehand, and I honestly skipped through them. I didn't even really bother.
I watched the Finn Balor Elias match up until I just was like, okay, I just want to know who wins. And obviously Finn wins. I yeah. watched the, and don't get us wrong, folks, this is not us commentating on how, like, men's wrestling, women's wrestling, whatever. I watched part of the Riot Squad, Bayley and Ember Moon match. I watched part of the beginning of it, and then I skipped the end of it.
They don't have any charisma. I think that's the biggest, and it's not the women. It's 90% of the wrestlers have no charisma or have no. There's nothing behind them that makes you want to see their characters. They have no personality.
Yeah.
So, you watch for the highlights. Like, they might be losing viewers because anything good that happens in a match ends up on their YouTube site, right? Like, all the highlights from the weekend up there anyway. So, unless something really awesome happens. So, I mean, it's not even like I'm burnt out because I'm watching other wrestling that's really good. But I did want to see what happened with the Shield, and they came out through the audience. They did their whole shtick, and it was really cool. They all looked into it, even though some people were getting paid probably a good 20 or 30 times what other people were getting paid.
Yeah.
So that's special.
Few stories live forever. Theirs is legendary.
The Eye of Justice is always watching.
Ambrose Solon screams.
The Hounds of Justice are upon us!
And I've never seen anything like this group.
We are the most dominant force in the history of this company.
You get out of our yard, or we beat your ass.
There is no force of nature on this earth as powerful as the Shield.
The future is now!
I didn't sell out. I bought in.
Seth Rollins with the heist of the century.
This is the era of the Roman Empire.
He's cashing in. Ambrose is champion.
We haven't always gotten along.
We will always ride into battle together.
We're not an alliance. We're not a friendship. We're a brotherhood.
We don't bend, we don't crack, we don't stop. We are the Hounds of Justice.
We are the Shield.
These three young men change the direction and change the history of WWE forever.
When we were in this ring together, we dominated.
Tonight, we witness the final chapter.
The Shield will ride one last time. The end of an era. One last time, WWE Universe.
You will believe in the Shield.
Sierra Hotel,
India,
Echo,
Lima,
Delta.
I'm sorry. You've been in the company for 7 fucking years. You've given your blood, sweat, and tears to this place. You've had injuries to this place, to yourself, because of this place. Getting a, what I'm going to call a Zach McGowan fee for your final appearance, that's just wrong.
Well, especially since network appearances are considered specials and you get paid more usually.
Yeah.
He got paid less than you do at a house show.
Exactly, and that's not cool.
He got what like a local wrestler would get to do a dark match at a house show that only like 1,000 people see.
That's not even cool because, again, regardless of whoever's opinions or whoever's whatever he's doing, whatever they're doing, whatever disagreements, whatever the hell, the fact that he's leaving, you still pay the man what he's worth for the physicality, for the athleticism, for the in-ring work. Like, come on.
Ugh. I guarantee you he got paid 10 times what he got paid there. Maybe 15 to 20. He probably got paid 10 to 20 grand to show up at the end of AEW, the end of Double or Nothing.
Yeah, probably.
So for 1 minute of work, he got paid more than what he got there.
Yeah. And that's crazy. That's just absolutely nuts. I love the Shield aspect of Final Chapter.
I was happy. Yeah. It's the final chapter. People always say it's the final chapter till they come back. I don't know if he's ever coming back, at least not while Vince is alive.
No, I don't think he ever will.
He didn't just burn the bridge. He set it on fire and blew up the river below with dynamite.
Yeah,
so,
pretty much.
You would have a better chance of seeing Seth show up at AEW. I don't.
And that's the other thing.
If Roman will because of his family ties, but
yeah. And that's the other thing. Like, all the news articles I see on my Google feed are like, how many WWE stars are now going to jump ship and go to AEW because it's a much better this or it's a much better that and whatever else. I don't know if AEW shows up on Hulu, sure, I'll check it out. I have not yet watched Double or Nothing, but I have it. And it will be the next episode. Like, in the first time in 4 years, it's a non-WWE product here on Mayhem Mikes. We are actually going to review AEW Double or Nothing next episode.
There are some matches in there that are kind of throwaway because they just are. But mm-hmm. The three shows are like, the one you have to watch for sure is the Cody and Dustin Rhodes.
Yeah.
To give you an idea of the kind of variety you're going to get and some of the wackiness and the funny stuff, you have to watch the pre-show for the Battle Royal, which is their version of like the Rumble.
Mm-hmm.
And then for tag teams, you got the Young Bucks match, and then you got Jericho versus Omega at the end, and they're all worth watching. Mm-hmm. They're completely, you know, it's got a bit of the 90s Attitude Era stuff thrown in, but the production value, big thing for me was it looks as good as WWE, and TNA never got to that level even when they were doing really well in like 2007 to 2009. There's been nobody that has the production values of like they're of like a WCW, and they do now. So as far as watching it, I don't know if you have cable or not. It's going to be on TNT.
Yeah, I do. And
we don't get TNT in Canada, and most of their programming gets split up amongst other like cable channels here, but their weekly show is going to be on Bleacher Report, the website, because it's owned by Turner Media. Cool. And apparently that can be viewed, like they'll be streaming it live every week, so you can watch it online if you don't want to have a cable package for it.
They're gonna
do pay-per-views I think 3 to 4 times a year, so basically every 3 or 4 months.
Oh, very cool. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, so I'm very interested in that, just to see the difference in production and whatever and all that and different matches. The funny thing is, I had to, because we all knew. Like, it was no surprise when John released his first video on Twitter as John Moxley, it was like, ooh, interesting. And, you know, I had to just search out on YouTube, you know, John Moxley AEW appearance, whatever, and I basically saw the end of the whatever. What was cool to me was when Jericho turns around, he's like, "The hell are you doing here?" Because my favorite
they're trying to do a really good job of not like having too many WWE people go over, because that's what happened to like WCW,
right?
And TNA, and it fell apart. You got to pick the best people and pick the right times,
right? Exactly. So when Jericho was like, "What the hell are you doing here?" the first thing I thought of was the Dean Ambrose, Chris Jericho, like, it was a steel cage match, but it was like, it was that
the Asylum match?
That's what it was, the Ambrose Asylum match, that's what it was.
I called it the gardening match, where it had a whole bunch of gardening.
Yep. Had a whole bunch of gardening tools. Poor Chris, he sold it magnificently, but he ended up with all these tacks in his back and whatever.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, that was the first thing I thought of when I'm like, ooh, John Moxley and Chris Jericho. What does that remind me of? Oh, so cool. I still love The Shield. I will still watch The Shield stuff. You know, is it going to suck that they're not there anymore? Yeah, sure, but it is what it is, and I'm okay with it.
Yeah, hopefully this pushes everybody to do better all around, right? Yeah. Like, it'll hopefully up the game of WWE, which ups the game of AEW, which ups the game of Impact, you know, whatever's left there in Toronto. And and like what's the other one? MLW and Florida
and Ring of Honor and all that.
Yeah, there's more wrestling options out there now than ever. So hopefully it ups the game of everybody.
Yeah, hopefully. So as I said before, folks, AEW Double or Nothing will be the first non-WWE episode we do here in Mayhem Mike's in the 4 years that the show's been online. Finally, Becky Lynch and AJ Styles have got WWE Network specials out. I think Becky's WWE 24, so basically you follow Becky for 24 hours or whatever it is, a day. And then AJ Styles is the 365, which is the full year. So we'll get to that as well. I have no idea who's going to be on the AEW episode. I know Ryan. I know Optimus Solo said something about it. I know you were saying something. It's just going to depend on who is available at the time that we decide to record it.
Yeah, I'll be on it unless I'm not on it. So you'll have to wait and see.
Exactly. Where can the people find you online, sir?
You can find me online on Facebook, Alex Ritchie. On Twitter, I am DeathPhase Twig now. You can hit me up, feedback at thisweekingeek.net or alex at thisweekingeek.net. Find me lurking around social media, basically.
I am at TFG and Mike on Twitter. You can follow at Geekcast Radio and at This Week in Geek for the respective network Twitters as well. Because this is a Twig and GCRN thing, I've stolen one of Twig's old catchphrases. Lower your shields, surrender your listenership, and for the Geekcast Radio Network, unleash the geek in you. We will catch you next time here on Mayhem Mike's.
Rollins.
Reigns.
Ambrose. Nearly 7 years ago, we walked into this place with one goal in mind, to create a legacy serving out our brand of justice.
But we didn't just create a legacy. We started a whole new culture for this place, and we did it on our own terms.
We've had the whole world thrown at us. There's nothing we haven't been through together. So tonight, come hell or high water, we go out and do it our way.
Believe that.
Believe in the Shield.
You want anything, brother? Yeah, you can do it.
Hey, I got something else to say. For all you people who live here in Seth Rollins country, it's no secret Seth Rollins grew up right here in the Quad Cities. So right now, I want you to look at this as an example. We're just like any one of you. Anything you want to do in your life, if you work hard, if you put your mind to it, if you don't take no for an answer, if you bust your ass until you get to the finish line, you can do whatever you want in life. And Seth Rollins, Universal Champion from right here, is proof of that. If you want proof that you can overcome any obstacle in your life, no matter how big or how small, all you got to do is look at this guy who overcame something worse than any of us can even imagine. You look at him and you know you can do it too. And if you've learned anything from the Shield, what the Shield is about, it's about kicking down doors. It's about taking what is yours. It's about not taking no for an answer. If somebody tries to tell you that you can't do something, that you can't be the thing that you see yourself being, you stick your middle finger high in the air and you march forward and you tell them the Shield said so.
You just made the list. All clear.
The Shedden Truck and Tractor Pull is June 14th and 15th.
Friday night includes all the top classes from the Empire State Pullers, members of the Pro Pulling League. Saturday night, cheer on local farm stock tractors, 4x4s and semis.
Plus, enjoy live music in the beer gardens. Friday is the Jay Allen Band featuring Connor Wilson, and Saturday it's Space Stripper. Parking is free, camping is available.
Go to SheddenTruckAndTractorPull.com for reservations and information.
Sponsored in part by AG Pastor and Sons Pioneer Seats, Ontario Plants, and Allied Tax Service.
The Shedden Truck and Tractor Pull, June 14th and 15th.
Come for the pull, stay for the party.